Welcome to the Thursday, November 17th, 2011 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich, and I'm today recording from Jacksonville, Florida. The big news today is a denial of service vulnerability in Bind 9, the DNS server that apparently got exploited in the wild over the last couple of days. The exact nature of the traffic that caused the denial of service condition is still a little bit murky at this point. However, there is a CVE number assigned to it, 2011-4313, and ISC, the Internet System Consortium, came out with a new version of Bind 9. That would be Bind 9.8.1-P1 or 9.7.4-P1. The version of Bind was updated on November 16th, and it affects 9.4, 9.6 as well. So if you're running any of the version 9 Bind resolvers, please make sure that you update, because you may be subject to this denial of service problem. If you do get hit by it, Bind will just crash, so you have to restart it again. At this point, there doesn't appear to be any code execution possible, but like I said, we don't really know a lot about this particular vulnerability at this point, so I would definitely look into updating sooner rather than later. At the same time, if you do experience the problem, please let us know, and we are still looking for some logs, in particular packet captures of the traffic that actually causes the problem. The Internet System Consortium, or IC.org advisory, mentions a particular log message to look out for, and that's insist not DNS underscore R dataset underscore is associated, and then in parentheses, sick R dataset. So if you see this message and if Bind crashes, please let us know so we see how widespread this is. Like I said, we got some reports, and if you look at the comments to the diary article, that organizations appear to be actually hit by this vulnerability. And then we got a paper from Microsoft's research department about the Bitcoin and a potential flaw in this new currency. One of the problems they point out is the way these transactions, these Bitcoin transactions, are validated. In order to validate a transaction, a node on the Bitcoin network has to essentially reverse a hash to prove that a transaction is valid. Now, for its work of validating transaction, the node that I guess is sort of considered a notary here and approving the transaction is rewarded with a small amount of Bitcoin. That's all nice and good, but one of the problems here may be that a node that receives a Bitcoin transaction to validate is not forwarding it to another node or to other nodes in the network as it's supposed to, because it wants to get the reward for actually authorizing the transaction. The Bitcoin system, however, is sort of built on the idea that these transactions are brute forced by many nodes at the same time in order to speed up the processing of the transaction. So if you have these nodes holding on to transactions, this may slow down the network overall. One thing these research propose is an approach that would reward someone for forwarding the transaction by actually splitting the fee. The analog they use is the red balloon challenge that DARPA came up with. DARPA had this challenge where across the United States they placed these red balloons and then asked for different institutions to help them find them to see which approach works best. And one approach that works quite well by MIT was to not only reward the person that found the balloon, but also the person that recruited the person who found the balloon. Sort of a classic snowball system, and that worked a lot better than just rewarding the person that found the balloon, because they, of course, then have an incentive not to recruit anybody, because that increases their likelihood of actually reaping the reward. And then we have heard a lot about problems with SSL certificates over the last few months. Google now proposed at the IETF meeting in Taiwan a somewhat new way to protect against the problem of fake certificates. What Google proposes here is that the browser tracks what certificate was used last for a particular site and then alerts the user if the certificate changed. Now, of course, certificates sometimes change for certain sites and it may change before the certificate expires. So in order to solve this problem, Google proposes an additional header that essentially includes a hash of the certificate or parts of the certificate and then an expiration time that will tell the browser for how long to pin a certain certificate. Sounds all good. One of the problems, of course, is it only helps if a certificate changes after you visited the valid site. So there is still sort of a bootstrapping problem here that has to be solved. Another approach that came up at that meeting was also DNSSEC, of course, which does provide a meaningful alternative to solve some of the issues that SSL tries to solve. Anyway, this is it for today. So thanks again for listening and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.